Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hi, Steve Dale. How are you?
I am great. I would have liked to have been the first guest. I mean, I pay for top billing here, you know.
You are the recipient of the first ever Excellence in Media Award from the National...
American Veterinary Medical Association.
National American...
Veterinary Medical Association.
You're at their convention or something?
Well, I'm going to be. Their convention is in the summer, but they made the announcement at a large veterinary convention called VMX in Orlando, Florida. And I said, what? Me? You know, it's so nice.
Congratulations.
I mean, really.
If you are without equal in the business.
Well,
you're a great advocate. You're a great communicator.
Well,
you know the material. You're not a veterinarian.
Not yet, no.
Have you ever thought about that? That would cost a fortune. You'd have to go back to school.
Yeah.
It's like going to med school.
Oh, it's worse. It's harder.
Being a veterinarian, I've heard that. It's hard to believe that, but I suppose.
Well, it's harder to get in. There aren't as many vet schools.
And I guess maybe it's complicated, too, because if you're a human doctor, you work on human beings. If you're a veterinarian, you work on all kinds of animals.
That's absolutely
correct. So maybe there's complications there that you don't otherwise have to deal with. And back in the day, a veterinarian would just take care of the most rudimentary things. But now, veterinary medicine has all of the branches, it seems, that human medicine
absolutely
has.
Absolutely true. And the same equipment at emergency clinics, for example. Not only x-ray machines, but also ultrasounds and all of that. You go to a cardiologist, you get the same exact treatment, same equipment as a veterinary cardiologist.
Which means we need to find a way to help people pay for that. Because some of us will sometimes pay more for pet care than we do human care.
Well, no. That's not true. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So
you
think
my
about
bills?
It. No. Think about it. You've known someone, unfortunately, in your family, a friend, a neighbor who's had cancer. We all do, right? So if you go in for cancer surgery of some kind, then need chemotherapy and radiation after and other medication to counteract that, perhaps, that can cost, it will cost maybe $1 million. I mean, literally $1 million, right? In veterinary medicine, the same kind of cancer can happen to a dog, the same kind of surgery, the same radiation, the same chemotherapy, but not as much of it.
Sure.
And we're talking a lot of money, $5,000, $7,000, $8,000.
Oh, that's interesting.
But
so,
there's no comparison.
Well, there is in that my out-of-pocket is what I feel.
Right.
I don't even think about the millions of dollars that the insurance company paid or that the hospital discounted because of our provider or whatever. So that's a fair point.
And I'll be talking about, I mean, there's pet insurance. There are ways.
Do you recommend that?
Yes.
Because I called somebody one time, and they made it sound like, sure, this is good insurance unless your dog gets sick. And then if there's any pre-existing condition or anything that we could ever say, well, maybe he already had that, then we won't pay. And I backed off.
Well, it depends on the pet insurance company. It's like anything else. And the pet insurance world, unfortunately, is very complicated. There are two basic kind of divisions. One pays for about 30%, give or take, of wellness care and anything else you might need. You know, sadly, your dog gets hit by a car. I mean, something very traumatic.
Or they swallow something and they need to have stomach surgery
and
to get it out.
Right, and they pay about 30% of that, give or take. The other model is they pay zero for wellness care, but 80% or more for that big emergency.
That's the one I want.
Yeah, and it's available.
And does an emergency include cancer or
depending
diabetes
on,
or whatever?
Sometimes it depends on the company. Sometimes you need an extra rider to pay to protect for that.
What was your reaction to the story this week? It was was it in the Tribune last week? But we had one of the ladies that was on this Earth Board, an association that's an animal rescue. It's really an animal sanctuary. I know you know all about this.
So they say.
If you didn't hear the story, there was this animal sanctuary in Thawville, Illinois, in the Kankakee area. And hundreds of animals have been brought there over years. And it sounds like they were starved or malnourished, not taken care of. The animals were dying there. They weren't living out their natural lives. We've rescued pets, and I think a lot of people that give up their pets to be rescued, maybe grandma can't take care of it anymore, hope that the industry has safeguards to keep something like that from happening.
Well, there is no industry as such for that. You know, so this is an individual operator who has a sanctuary who really didn't do very well and fulfill her promises. I don't know the specifics of this case or this individual, but here's what I'm getting at. Sometimes people mean well, and they get in way over their head and have no idea what to do. That happens actually somewhat frequently, and some people just don't mean well and want to take the money from people and don't much care about the animals and put the money in their pocket.
So Brenda and I've had dogs, and we've got them from pet rescues.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like most people do that. I guess there's a few ways to acquire a pet. One is from a rescue organization, and I'm not 100% sure, but I think we should all patronize that service. Or are we just aiding and abetting people that are irresponsible breeders, and then the rescues take them, and then we take them, but really what we're doing is just keeping those other people in business. And then the other one is pet stores, right? What's your take on pet stores?
Okay, so there are several ways to purchase or adopt an animal, and one is a legitimate freestanding animal shelter. Great, that's a wonderful thing to do, period. There are rescues, and these days, unfortunately, as the example you gave, you have to do some homework to make sure this rescue is really legitimate and also not a puppy mill, incidentally. I mean, anyone can put up a website, right? Anyone can go to GoDaddy and these sorts of places, and you get nice-looking websites, or hire people for even nicer-looking websites. Does that really mean they're a legitimate breeder? You really need to see the operation. One more thing, and those are legitimate breeders. That person that's doing a great job, a superb job, and I have no issue with purebred dogs or cats, who's breeding a Maine Coon cat or an Irish setter and doing a very good job at it. And because people can, and I hope they do, go to animal shelters or rescues to adopt that mixed breed dog as a little bit of everything. That's what we have right now. But I have no issue whatsoever. It's America. We're supposed to have free choices. I just don't want them to come from puppy mills. So if you go to a pet store, no responsible breeder. I'll say it again. No responsible breeder ever sells to a pet store.
So does that mean all of the pets in pet stores are irresponsibly put there, that we should not patronize them?
Correct. And that's what Naperville is pursuing right now.
I just saw that story. So Naperville is what, going to ban the sale of dogs and cats at stores?
I hope. Chicago has.
But they're national chains that do this, right?
That's their problem. They're not doing, they're doing bad things. And, you know, there are individual pet stores that have said, you know what, we've been doing the wrong thing all these years, including one in Naperville that said a couple of years ago, we're just not going to follow that model anymore. We're just not going to sell dogs and cats. And they are still in business. My point is not to put pet stores out of business. It is to put puppy mills out of business.
Okay, but then you want them to source those pets then from someplace else. Pet stores can sell pet supplies and pet food.
Sure.
But if they want to sell pets, where are they supposed to get them?
Then they can adopt out animals.
Right.
And that model's been followed. That's what Petco and PetSmart do all the time.
Or they could be the wholesaler for breeders, right? Legitimate breeders. They could actually be the retailers.
I love you! Nobody does that! So it's about time. I want an Irish setter breeder, or whatever breed it is, a responsible breeder, to have a day at a pet store to explain what their breeds are all about. Probably not adopt them there, because a responsible breeder is going to be more careful than that.
Daisy, our Dizzy Dappled Dachshund,
yes,
is a rescue from a puppy mill that we got from the Midwest Dachshund Rescue.
Mm-hmm.
So, did you see the conundrum I think we're part of then? Whoever had Daisy originally and was just using her for breeding purposes and mistreating her.
Yes.
I've not only rescued Daisy, I've rescued them.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you going to do, right? I mean, what are we going to do with the daisies of the world?
Well, the problem isn't only the pet stores. It's what I alluded to earlier. It's not only the pet stores that are selling these puppy mill dogs and sometimes cats. It is the online. And I don't know what to do about that. The federal government's going to have to step in at some point. But meanwhile, we can do what we can do, and that is prevent pet stores everywhere from selling dogs and cats. Selling them, adopting them, or informing people about purebred dogs, I have no problem with.
Well, maybe pet stores are less expensive than when you buy it from a breeder, because the amount of money some people spend on their dogs, they travel cross-country, and they give somebody $7,000 or $2,200, and it's like insane.
Well, that's not true. So there's a pet store.
I just said it on the radio.
But
it must
not
be true.
Because there's a pet store I'm thinking of right now in Chicago that is illegally, really, still selling dogs. And look them up.
Is it
this
expensive
place,
there?
Yes.
Okay.
And what's more, a lot of people can't afford it. So they take out loans, and the percent on the loans is like 40% or 60% or some crazy
really?
Thing
this
on
is
top
the
of everything else.
Okay, hold on. So I want to also talk to you a little bit about support pets on planes.
This legislation about, that's a news story now, right?
Hold on a second. Steve Dale's in our studio. Can you tell?
I want to talk about this.
And if you've got a question or comment, 312-981-7200. At 1047, I'm John Williams. Our Steve Dale, the pet expert, is the first recipient of the Excellence in Media Award from the National Veterinary Association.
AVMA, American Veterinary Medical Association. And it's like, it really is the honor of my life. I mean, you know,
well, it should
crazy.
Be. I'm so happy for you. I saw that online this week, and I thought, this is the mother of veterinary organizations, and they have... This is the first time they've even given this award.
Yeah.
I think that's such a recognition of what you've been for the industry. It's really what you are for WGN Radio listeners, Steve. You're a font of information.
Even if or what you say to me off the air, that I'm full of it. Yeah. Either way.
I do not say that.
No, I know. Joe
wanted to say something. You're on WGN Radio. Hi, Joe. You're on the air.
Hi, John. I just wanted to say a reference. I worked for the airlines for a lot of years as a supervisor, and I was extensively trained in trying to determine either support animals or service animals, and it's gotten so crazy now, and I'm glad the Department of Aviation is starting to do something. It's gotten so crazy, people trying to pass off their pets, Fifi, as service or trained service animals, just so they can fly in the cabin of the airplane. And it's really gotten crazy because of these passengers know how things are, and they go nuts, and they create a big stir. And a lot of airlines will say, okay, well, let's put him on board. But it really inconveniences the other passengers, number one. And number two, you know what a service animal is. That dog doesn't move. It doesn't bark. It doesn't. You can tell the difference. And I really hope the Department of Aviation, FAA, cracks down on it just for the, number one, the employees at the airlines, but number two, for all the passengers.
Yeah, and maybe for some of the pets, too, for that matter. Well, what a good call, Joe. Thanks. Steve,
well,
what do you say
about
that?
Some of the pets, for that matter, too, is actually a really good point, because pets that are anxious are the ones barking, you know? So I'm responsible for this in a very crazy sort of way. Years ago, right after 9/11, all of these people that meant well didn't know what to do. So they greeted the family members that went from Pier, whatever the number was in New York City.
Yeah.
If you remember the story, they would go see the site and then go back to that pier. And, of course, they were distraught. So people brought animals. And in a story, I called them. I didn't know what to call them. So I called them comfort dogs. I thought, that's a nice name. Well, people picked up on that idea. And the idea is that, and it's true, that these dogs, any dog, does provide comfort to us. But there is a legal distinction as well as a real distinction in training, as the listener just alluded to, between those dogs and a service dog.
Do you think people are abusing the opportunity?
Yes.
And
yes.
Comfort dogs?
But that's the airline's fault, too, because the airlines are a bit guilty here because they charge so much money for allowing a dog on a plane. And if I happen to have an 80-pound dog, what do I do? How do I get from one place to another if I cannot drive with that dog?
I don't know, but I don't think it should be sitting next to me and coach.
I understand the conundrum, you know, and I'm not sure that I know the answer. I think we need to come up with a compromise just to say, well, first off, the airlines now have finally smartened up and said no peacocks and, you know,
snakes,
those guys. Yeah,
turkeys,
that was,
pheasants,
yes,
pigs.
That was all ridiculous. I mean, there's no doubt that never should have been allowed in the first place.
And I don't know what a definition of a comfort pet is. I suppose you do, but I believe that those creatures comfort people
absolutely
who are anxious on planes. So too does Xanax. Chardonnay or or take a car, take a train. Uh-huh. But I mean, just because that thing gives you comfort, I don't know that that necessarily means it needs to be in a plane.
I don't completely disagree with you because I'm thinking of the animals. So some of these animals are quite anxious themselves because they're not trained to do this. And sometimes they're not really comfort dogs because here's what you can do right now. You can go online to any number of websites, pay $35 or $50, and you can say your dog or cat or whatever is a comfort animal.
Really?
Sure. Yeah.
Wow. Let's pick up a couple more phone lines. John's on WGN. Hi, John. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, John. My wife and I rescued a pit bull mix from a kill shelter in Indiana. And not long afterwards, I was trying to shop around for homeowner's insurance, and when I told them I had a pit mix, they refused to insure me, and I was wondering if that's legal.
It depends on the state. Go to State Farm, and there are other insurance companies that can care less what kind of dog you say you have, first of all. Secondly, I guess you learn the hard way. You could have just said it's a mixed breed dog, and it is. I mean, most dogs that look like pit bulls, incidentally, are just that. They're mixed breed dogs, and I think the insurance companies that discriminate like that are just wrong for doing so, and it should not, in fact, be legal.
John, thanks for the call. 708 texted in and said, get pet insurance. My dog had cancer. They paid 80%, like you were talking about.
Yep.
So get, and that might be the kind of policy that doesn't do much for well care.
Correct.
But if there's something catastrophic, that's what you need.
Absolutely.
I think well care is baked into the cost of owning a dog. But then you get this decision where the vet says it's going to be $6,000 to fix this. And I was always... Oh, well, then that's when you just say goodbye to your dog. Oh, no, you don't.
No,
you find $6,000 and it's hard.
Yep.
Maybe you have $6,000. A friend of mine put it on her credit card. Mm-hmm. I mean, which is not a good way to go.
No, and I'll be talking about some better ways to go as it happens in 2 weeks on my show. I just lost a dog. I mean, I understand.
How long ago?
2.5 weeks ago.
Steve, I didn't know that.
Really? Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank
How you doing?
Okay. Okay.
Pick up another phone line?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm on the King show. It's up to you.
Adam, you're on WGN. What can we do for you, Adam? Hi.
Yeah, just commenting on the cost. I purchased a Basset Hound last year, went to one of those pet stores up in the far northwest suburbs where they have, you know, a dozen different puppies, and the Basset Hound there was over $3,000. Yeah. Went to a breeder, a reputable breeder, and got purebred with papers and shots and so forth for $800.
$800. So you did the $800 one.
Oh, yeah.
But the point of your story is that the reputable breeder was actually less money. But what's more,
absolutely,
that reputable breeder, if it truly is a responsible breeder, you know it's a Basset Hound. What we know, John, about pet stores, because we can do genetic tests today, is they say it's a Basset Hound.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of looks like a Basset Hound.
Right.
Probably isn't really a
do
Basset
I care?
Hound.
I mean,
a lot of people do. You know, if you want a purebred dog. And besides, isn't it called fraud when you think you're paying for something
well,
and it's
that.
Not?
Yeah. There's that. Interesting. Hey, Adam, thanks for the phone call.
Sure.
You have a good day. What about Dave? You're on WGN. Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
Good morning, John. Steve, sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
But, yeah, I just wanted to, you know, I don't think that there's anything as a bad dog. There's bad dog owners.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's wonderful animals out there, but those who are looking for purebred dogs that have had their papers and health testing or bred by responsible breeders, there is a huge dog show going out on this weekend in Grays Lake County Fairgrounds.
Yes.
And you can find the breed of your choice there.
Well, you know what? That's really, I'm glad actually, I mean, it sounds like a crazy plug, but he's right. I mean, that's where you go to find responsible breeders. And one way of defining a responsible breeder in general is those folks go to dog shows. They care about their dogs.
Dave, thanks for the call. I'm going to go from you to Terry. I got a minute left. Hey, Terry, you're on the air. What can we do for you?
Terry, Jan, I couldn't agree with you more that an 80-pound dog shouldn't be sitting next to me in coach, but I also agree. I also think that those dogs shouldn't be in those Home Depots and running around. I saw a huge dog fight, not in Home Depot, but in a Farm and Fleet
really?
A couple weeks ago.
Wow.
And a little tat was only feet away from it. And But I am sorry for your loss, Steve, too, by
Thank
the
you.
Way.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank
I'm
you.
Glad you brought up that point, too. This is some of us here on the shows have been,
I've heard about it,
talking a lot about pets in stores.
Yeah, and I don't see any problem with that. I mean, the
how about in restaurants?
In restaurants, it's against the law. So, outside restaurants, it's another story.
So in the Home Depot, it's okay for you?
It depends. Yeah, it depends. If the retailer
how about
says
at a
it's okay,
store?
It's okay.
How about at a
why
Gap,
not?
Gap clothing store?
Why not? It's unlikely that I've never seen a dog fight at one of these.
I haven't
for
either.
The most part,
but I've seen him go to the bathroom.
Well,
you have not. You have the stand. Go ahead.
For the most part, people bring dogs they know they can bring into these stores. And I'd rather see that than see someone tie out a dog outside
of
Starbucks.
Yeah, I've seen
which is actually complain. Against the law in Chicago.
No kidding.
I wrote the law. I know that. Technically.
Of course you did.
Technically, most law enforcement individuals don't know that, but it actually is against the law.
Steve, congratulations
Thank
on
you.
Becoming the pan-global, all-American, all-world advocate for pets.
Thank you.
He is going to pick up the trophy in August. Is it this
early,
summer?
Yeah, early August in San Diego. Come out to San Diego.
You know, you were on with Bill and Wendy in this slot a lot. Let's make you a more frequent guest on this show.
I would be honored to do so because this is the royal court.
It is not. It's good to see you. That's our
Thank
Steve
you.
Dale.